11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A little bit later on today in the noon hour, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, part of the Chiefs broadcast on Sunday night right here on 96.5 The Fan. Good to have Danan on the show, get his perspective on the wide receivers, not only on the Chiefs side, but what he makes of just the passing attack there in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins still looks like a guy coming back from an Achilles injury. He had the one really good drive, the game-winning drive at the end. Was that enough to get them going in Atlanta with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and company, Darnell Mooney, et cetera? So we'll get his perspective on the wide receivers that Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, et cetera, are going to be going up against around 12:10 today here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's keep talking some baseball, though. It's been very evident this week in particular, the impact of not having Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup, runners in scoring position, coming up with clutch at-bats. I mean, that's what Vinny did throughout much of the season. They clearly missed that, to have the guy behind Bobby or Salvi. It's been just, I think,
obvious.
It's just been more evident this week because of the issues, runners in scoring position, what, 8 double plays during the series, I think it was.
Sure.
Some of those first pitch swings that led to double plays were just very frustrating to watch throughout the series. So with the issues with runners in scoring position, without having Vinny Pasquantino, what does that do to you when you view the American League? We already talked about the 9 games to go and got to get in. Let's say they get in. What does that do in terms of how they stack up against everybody else?
I think right there at the beginning of September, you and I both had said, AL's wide open. Are you kidding? There's not going to be a single 100-win team. Everyone's going to finish in the low to mid-90s. Everyone in the AL Central is essentially going to finish inside of like 3 games of each other other than the Guardians. It didn't feel like there was any standalone teams in the American League. Now that the Royals don't have Vinny in the middle of their order right now, and I don't know, maybe you will still get healthy enough if they're able to get to an ALCS or later, that Vinny can still come and join them. I don't view the AL as wide open anymore. I view the AL as the Yankees are the toughest team to beat, and they're going to stand in your way. The Astros are another very difficult team. I would put them in those two teams in their own little category. Then I would lump everyone else together. Because I know that I'm supposed to include the Guardians into that mix. A team that's played about the same as the Royals since the All-Star break. Certainly had a better first half than the Royals. And had a good first week out of the All-Star break when the Royals did not. But for the most part, I do kind of lump everyone else in. Even without Vinny, I don't think that the Royals are dramatically behind or ahead of the Tigers, Orioles, Twins, Guardians. I view those teams as they have major problems that everybody knows, as in the Guardians don't have enough starting pitching, or the Royals' bullpen stinks, or the Tigers, I don't think lineup can keep hitting at this rate, but currently is and has since the All-Star break, where you know their fundamental flaw, everybody knows it. I think those are harder to pick out between the Yankees and the Astros, because where they are flawed, they are so much better in other areas.
They are.
It's hard to ignore.
Look, if we're ranking out the teams, I agree with you. Like, if we're just ranking out how we would look at the potential playoff teams in the American League, yeah, I would have the Yankees 1, Astros 2. I still think the Astros, in a weird way, are more dangerous than the Yankees, but Yankees 1. And then after that, I think you can almost flip a coin between a couple of these teams. The way Baltimore's playing, the way Kansas City's playing, I guess probably 3 is Cleveland. But I still believe it is wide open, Cody. I mean, it doesn't mean that if you're forced to do a ranking for a team, that we don't agree that the Yankees are at the top of that list. But we've seen evidence now of 150, 55 baseball games or 53 baseball games for teams. And nobody has run away with it. You know, the Orioles, the reason why they have the 4.5 game lead or whatever it is over the Orioles have been playing terrible baseball. It's not like the Yankees have just been that much better down the stretch.
No, the Yankees have been fine.
They've won 3
kind of like the Guardians have been fine, yeah, but they just haven't been as bad.
Yeah, I view it as still being wide open. I mean, we know what the flaws are of the Royals. It's been the same flaw all year, and then now you add in runners in scoring position, not having Vinny's bat. We know the Orioles have had injuries. Other than Corbin Burnes, the rotation is not all that impressive. And they're just not playing good baseball. They're making mistakes. We know the flaws that exist for the Guardians. They got a great bullpen. There's some other issues that they have with their starting pitching now. We know with the Tigers right now, they're hot, but their rotation still isn't all that impressive. They're just playing solid baseball. They sold more than any other team in the division or American League that was still hovering around the playoff hunt. And to credit A.J. Hinch and the young players, they haven't given up, and now they're the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break. So I just think every team has multiple flaws, and therefore in a postseason, best of 3 series, eventually best of 7 series, yeah, someone will be a favorite, and the Yankees will be favorites over just about anybody in a playoff series when they get there, whether it's the ALDS, CS, probably, whatever. But I still think it's open, man. Gotta get in, though. That's what we say. Gotta get in.
That's, we can get back to that. But yeah, that is problem open. One is just get back into the, or, you know, not get back in. They're currently in a playoff spot. Stay in it. Desperately, please stay in it. You and I do not want to have a show on Monday, September 30th, talking about how the Royals, after all of this, did not make a postseason spot. What's crazy is, again, and I know that this just sounds like a broken record. It's like, they just went 2 or 3 this weekend. Then how many games are left? Like, how many games are left to catch them? I know that they're, like, now, for the Tigers' sake, they're only half game back of the Twins. It doesn't matter really what happens this weekend. They're going to be in a fight to the bitter end with all these teams till the end. But if you win 2 out of 3, and is the Tigers the White Sox this weekend?
Is that not the last weekend of the series, or am I wrong? I thought they have the Rays. I don't have everybody's schedule memorized. I know the opponents.
At the end of the schedule, at the end of the year, you could probably figure it out.
It's Orioles, then Rays, then White Sox.
Okay, so at the end of this weekend, again, same thing applies, unfortunately. As much as I want that first wild card spot and a chance to get the playoff, at this point, I am about preservation of the spot. So this weekend, if you were going to ask me, Golden, I'm sure we could have talked about this Friday, but say, hey, Cody, who are we a fan of this weekend? Who do we want? Were the Orioles winning these games or the Tigers? Orioles. Keep other teams. Just keep the Royals in the dance for now.
I hear you.
I know I'm only 2.5 games back. If they get swept today, it'll be 2 games back because the Tigers finish up a series. But I don't know, man.
I think it has to do with your confidence level in the Royals taking care of business. Because if you think they can take 2 of 3 against the Giants, then no, you want the Orioles still to lose, because all of a sudden you could be sitting here Monday and still you could have the top wild card spot. Like, that's how quickly it can still shift in that way. But it depends. Are you confident the Royals are going to snap out of this 4-game losing streak? Or do you think this is going to be a weekend in which they lose 2 out of 3, let's say, to the Giants? If you think they're taking 2 of 3 from the Giants and the Orioles are losing today, and so if I'm going to a weekend series where I'm only 2 back, then yeah, I'll still be actually rooting for the Orioles to lose.
Textline's asking something.
I'm more worried about what the Royals are doing and what the Twins do. The Tigers, to me, are going to pass the Twins. It's a Royals and Twins conversation.
The Textline's asking about something that I'm a little surprised the Royals haven't considered at this point, because they did it with the bats. They went out and got Gurriel. Mm-hmm. They went out and they're picking up dudes off the street to help them in the lineup. The second that Vinny Pasquantino got injured, why haven't they, when Scott Barlow was DFA'd, now Craig Kimbrell, and I'm not saying Craig Kimbrell's had a bad year. That's the entire Royals bullpen. If you're asking me right now, do I trust Steven Cruz or Craig Kimbrell to get an important out for the Royals, I'll be honest. It's probably the formerly pitched in the playoffs, Craig Kimbrell. Why haven't they kicked the tires on these Scott Barlow, Craig Kimbrell, guys who are objectively not having good years, but are on the street, and your guys are also not having good years? I'm not sure that, like, change of scenery couldn't play a factor here for somebody having a little bit of a juice, a rebirth here.
I wonder if it's almost too late. You know, you mentioned other veterans. That was still beginning of September. They're gonna have a month to acclimate and get.
Sure.
You're talking about adding a Craig Kimbrell type, and he's gonna get like 2 appearances before the play. And so you bet. You know, what I mean, like,
and then are you gonna put him on the playoff roster?
That's tough. Like, but I hear. I mean, I get the name, right? Totally get. We all know he's had a great career. He was also really good pre All-Star break. Mm-hmm. 2.80 ERA. Kimbrell was with the Orioles. I always have to. Whether it's football.
He's on the street. I know.
Yeah, like, that's always tough for me. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all, because players change the scenery.
But
I'm
just saying, if they weren't on the Royals, half of their bullpen had been on the street this year.
I understand. But I think sometimes it's very easy. We do this in the NFL all the time, where it's a player where, like, go get said player because we know the name, because at one point in time he was really good. And we forget that any other team in baseball could also, in this case, claim him. And nobody has to this point. And the Orioles, who we just acknowledged are in the middle of a playoff chase, who currently occupy the top wildcard spot, didn't think they had any use for him. Like, that's pretty telling to me. You know, it's Uriel was in the minors for the Braves, a little bit different.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, he was also, I mean, he wasn't on the street, but he was, like, close to it. And those two guys, in Kimbrell's case and Barlow's case, they're not on the street the way we talk about with Donovan Smith or Kareem Hunt. They were on a team. They were actively on a team.
But the Orioles think he's done.
I know.
The Orioles thought he was done. And teams misevaluate all the time. The Royals have misevaluated guys.
Sure.
The Orioles have misevaluated guys. So I'm not saying it's an end-all, be-all. He had a 2.8 ERA at pre-All-Star break. So he has a really good year. And then he's got a 5.3 over the last 18 appearances Kimbrel did. And during those 18 appearances, 22 runs, 20 earned, 22 hits, 15 walks.
And the truth is,
10.59 ERA.
That's fair. And the truth is, the three guys I would have wanted Scott Barlow to replace or Kimbrel to replace are now all hurt. Chris Stratton's on the IL. James MacArthur's on the IL. Will Smith's on the IL. Those have been guys you've been kicking around. We're actually getting to the point now where you're starting to look at it. You're like, all right, well, I like Bubich. I like the way Daniel Lynch has pitched great. Yeah. Schreiber's pitched well. Urseg's pitched well. Sam Long. They're not changing any of those names, so I get it.
Yeah, and I just looked it up to clarify. AP put it out as well. Like, it's different because he's not even eligible for the postseason, so there's no reason to bring him in for nine games to go. He basically, his season is over because he's not. If he clears waivers, which I think he did.
But we talked about this. You need to get wins. Like, is he better than the guys you were throwing?
Cody, you're not.
Like, do you trust him more than Carlos Hernandez?
You're not asking. You're not signing Craig Kimbrel for two appearances, and that's it.
I know. I understand why the teams wouldn't do it. I understand in that case. It's just about, like, we've talked about this. The margin's so thin. It's about wins. I'm not surprised they're sticking with their guys. I just, you know, people have asked, and I don't blame them for kicking it around. Meanwhile, we know that offenses are down. You and I have spent a little bit of time talking about this week. What do you think about this plan? Mel Kiper seems to think that we've got a solution for all the offensive woes in the league.
Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts.
Let me just name off as many quarterbacks as possible.
Throw the ball down the field.
I can name Colt players.
Stallworth and Slott, Roger Staubach.
That's what I want
to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space, too. I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, hey, come on. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But
so this is the same as the shift in baseball a little bit, but this is nuts.
He asking them to just say, the NFL.
Get rid of two high safeties ruining the sport.
So one, no, they should not ban cover two or whatever. That's two high safeties. It's stupid. Also, I think out of that minute 22 cut, 35, 40 seconds was just, I'm going to list off as many names of quarterbacks as possible. Very unnecessary. Like, we get it. We get it. You could have listed off Tarkenton, and that's
some people used to throw a deep pass.
Yes. Did you really need to name ten players that have thrown deep passes? That was just annoying. But no, we do not need to ban something just because it's right now in a cyclical thing. Through 2 weeks of the season, other teams are dealing with what, frankly, the Chiefs had to see for the last two seasons.
I will tell you, so I've seen other people now that he's kicking this around. Like, other leagues do love creating rules to make it better for offense. Very common. The NFL has done it. Major League Baseball's done it. All of these sports are doing it. But just straight up saying you can't run too high safety is nuts. You've been able to run it this entire time in the league. Maybe quarterback plays just down, Mel. Come on. We can't do this. What are suggestions you've actually seen that you liked? I saw Daniel Jeremiah said, screw that rule. Let's just make the fields wider like college. More space, more speed, more area to run. Thoughts?
No, we don't need a change. I'm sorry. This is one of those things where
football's the most popular sport in the
I do not. Like, sometimes I'm all about adjustments and let the coaches make adjustments. Let the players adjust it. We do not need to change rules because, as I said, for 2 weeks, the rest of the league is struggling with it, and the Chiefs have been seeing this look for two seasons, at least. Like, so, no, we do not need to make a new rule change. This is insane. There's plenty of other rules adjustments the NFL has made and will continue to make to favor the offense because we like points. It's a fantasy football world we live in. People like points. People like overs when they bet. All of that is true. How many times have you heard anybody on any show be like, you know what, I like all these. These are the five under player props I like. No, everybody's giving you overs usually. No, the public likes points, over on yards, all that kind of stuff. I think
points are down. That's what he's saying.
I know. I get it. I get it. Someone said that Mel Kiper listing off quarterbacks was just as bad as you listing off
cheddar, Jesus. Mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. Did I say Gruyere? Blue.
It Swiss. Really was the same thing, but with quarterbacks.
You guys asked Kiper. Me at least to name those cheeses at that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. Really? That's what Bradshaw did with Stallworth and Swan. Roger Staubach.
Those are wide receivers.
That's what I want to see brought back.
I don't care. He named 10 players, though. In the first 38 seconds, he named 10 players.
Funny thing is, I made the cut down. He was giving more earlier.
Oh, okay.
He gave a couple.
He
more.
To set a record.
Yeah. He gave a couple more earlier.
He might have listed 20 players.
How could he be so right on the Bryce Young take earlier this week, and then so wrong on this one? The Bryce Young take of
we've
why
all had
are
bad
you changing
takes,
everything?
We've all had bad takes, but this is I just.
What's your worst one on this show? The one I was buried for the most was the 90s music.
I mean, I said it a couple years ago. I thought Russell Wilson was going to work in Denver. I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a good pairing. Obviously, it was not the case. That's the most recent one I can think of. There's been others.
Talk for 4 hours a day, 20 hours a week. I got some bad ones.
That's one that has stuck with me a little bit because we know Russell Wilson just sucks now. So
I think it just to the too high thing is forcing, I guess, maybe more accuracy from some of the quarterbacks where you mentioned Cody earlier. Patrick Mahomes is okay in this. Joe Burrow is okay in this. Other quarterbacks that are more accurate on that, like Brock Purdy even has been okay. We obviously talked about Sam Darnold and Derek Carr, what they've been able to do. They've also thrown really deep passes this year. Both of those guys in particular, the last two, it kind of exposes Will Levis, Bo Nix. It exposes the rookies even more than what normally you have because of the way that the defenses are. They're not going to let you beat them over the top, so you have to figure out creative ways how to throw the ball underneath more.
Trash of the day.
All right. Let's get to this. This reminds me of, told you, one of my favorite movies you guys give me a hard time for. There's a stadium-sized asteroid deemed potentially hazardous by NASA, expected to move, quote, relatively close to Earth.
How's relatively
The asteroid
close?
Is moving around 20,000 miles per hour. The rocky object is about 180 meters wide, equals about 1,100 feet by 590 feet. And they have deemed it stadium size. It's about 621,000 miles away. That's it. 621,000 miles.
That seems kind of close. You know? Not even into the millions of miles?
It actually is considered relatively close. That we haven't seen an asteroid this size coming this close to the Earth every 5 to 10 years. Every 5 to 10 years, we get one of these close calls.
That's it?
And it just reminds me of my favorite movie. One of my favorite movies, Armageddon. It was on TV the other day. Armageddon was on TV the other day. Classic, especially Bruce Willis.
Could they just nuke the thing? I don't really know.
That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing.
Couldn't you just shoot it?
No.
You tell them we got laser-guided missiles and they couldn't just like fire something out of it rather than put a construction crew into space?
An oil rig crew.
The entire premise is stupid.
Oh, there's plenty of movies where you could say that. I do think, though, it's true. There's no way. The reason why I never get all that concerned whenever I always laugh and we joke about these stories where it's like NASA deems it potentially hazardous, going to be close to Earth. If it actually ever was a concern that it was going to strike Earth, land on Earth, kill us all, we would never know. Okay, we just the mass panic that would set in.
Would you want to know?
No. The mask.
If they just told you, but you couldn't tell anyone else, they had to sign an NDA.
It would never work. People would stop paying their bills. People would go and rob people. People would do all kinds of disgusting things. It would just be awful. Like, nobody would have any worry of consequences. It would be awful.
Would you try drugs if you knew?
Sure.
Drugs?
I just.
Somebody was like, hey, you're gold. Here's a big bag of coke.
Like,
you're
nobody,
saying to take a trip, is what you're saying.
People would want to take a trip. Like, but nobody would want. No, promise, you couldn't take a trip anywhere. Nobody would be working. Oh, the world's ending in a week. You want me to work? No. Nobody's flying those planes to take you to the Bahamas and just live there for a week because nobody's working.
I didn't mean that trip. I meant in Cody's reference to the drugs.
Oh, you want
to
go. I apologize.
Like on mushrooms.
Going to go take a trip.
I don't have to go anywhere to take that trip.
Yeah, yeah, you said take a trip, not go and be on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I got you. I'm following. I hear you.
I mean, so you're saying not only would it be Armageddon, but it would cause the purge, essentially.
Martial law, purge. Yeah, like
you're describing. I haven't seen it. Have any of you guys ever watched any of those purge movies?
No, I've just seen the trailers. I've never seen
the full movie. It was somebody.
You're watching Scooby-Doo. I'm assuming you're not into scary movies. I'm assuming that's not your genre.
I was watching Scooby-Doo last night. Speaking of which,
you guys aren't through that yet.
No, we are in season 3 of the Scooby-Doo show.
But that's like you've started a new series of Scooby-Doo. Is that what I understand?
Yes. Okay. So we've gone through. We're almost done, I guess.
Toward the end of the Scooby-Doo watching.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was a big purge.
But anyway, we're all right. This asteroid, no. It's still 600-something thousand miles away. We're fine. No need to panic.
Okay.
This is one of 5 that are going to pass by Earth over the next 2 days. The other will not come nearly as close. The other ones are 1.1, 3.9 million miles away.
Well, that's way too far.
And 3 of the asteroids are much smaller.
Why do they feel they need to tell us
this stuff, though? Like they're the size of a house. One's the size of a house, which is small, actually.
Did they just want to, like,
melt up in the atmosphere, I guess.
They want to inform us, Drew.
Well, then they should inform us if it's going to hit.
Because space is real, Drew. Well, then things are happening around us.
I know that, but they should inform us if it's going to hit then.
No, they're informing us because they know it's not going to hit. They want us to know that they got this under control.
They're like, it's fine. We've kept an eye out on it. Not going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say it's as close as they usually get in about 5-year stretch. That's going
to be slightly hazardous. I wonder what the hazard is.
Well, you guys have seen the story of the astronauts that are stuck up in space because Boeing screwed up.
That's just nuts.
They can't come home. Seriously. Imagine, like, they're stuck up there for now.
You're just like a regular dude, Golden. They let me go up into space. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, just real quick. I know you were only supposed to be here for a couple of weeks. You're going to have to be here for the next 6 months. And you're like, I'm sorry. Excuse me? Say what now? I got to live up here now? I thought this was like a vacation. No. No, they're just stuck.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing we want to talk about now that Kareem Hunt is making his reunion. Who else could make a reunion in the future? And we get back into the left tackle competition. What Ross Tucker told us about Kingsley Suamataia's play.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
We'll get to the left tackle situation. It's a situation, I think, to say the least, with both Wandy Morris and Kingsley Suamataia, who's going to start at left tackle. What Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, our Odyssey NFL insider, had to say to us yesterday about Kingsley's confidence, the concern with benching him versus starting him, and each one has its own issues. That's coming up in just a bit. I did see real quick, I know it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and this did occur during a Chiefs game. I thought this was fake. A listener of ours on Twitter, your boy KGB on Twitter, sent us a screenshot from Fanatics. And I was like, oh, this must be fake. This can't be real. We verified it is real on Fanatics. They are selling an official Bengals t-shirt. It is labeled Men's Cincinnati Bengals Cam Taylor Britt Black NFL Flash Feature Week 2 T-shirt. And the T-shirt has a Cincinnati logo, Cam Taylor Britt, number 29, September 15, 2024, and a photo of him with the great interception over Xavier Worthy. I thought it was Photoshop because it looks like a terrible T-shirt. It's not even like a cool animated thing. It's like just an actual photo on the T-shirt. This is a real thing. Drew, are you buying this? Please don't. Don't do this to yourself. This is embarrassing. It is week 2. Your team lost the game, and they're putting out a t-shirt of an interception. It didn't happen in the Super Bowl. Your team didn't win an AFC title game. Hell, even if Cincy won, I would still be making fun of it. This is dumb.
Yeah,
who's buying this t-shirt?
If they won the game, I think it's cause for sure. Go ahead and sell the thing because it was one of the best damn interceptions that we've ever seen. But in the same breath, I would not buy it. I'm definitely not buying it now. They lost. I don't know why they're selling it. It says officially licensed gear and all that stuff. So they got, I mean, it.
They'll be selling at the next watch party they do.
It's not a shirt that I would be purchasing by any stretch of the imagination. And if somebody bought it for me, I would not wear it.
This is not your fault, Drew. You're just a fan of a team.
Thank you for not blaming me.
You chose a team when you were a kid. You stuck with them. I understand. They are doing loser stuff. They had a watch party for a week two game that looked like maybe 90 people showed up for at the stadium, followed by creating a t-shirt for an interception that occurred in the third quarter or second of a loss, of a regular season loss. Like, I mean, yeah, it was a cool pick.
It gives off vibes of poster dunk. Put on a t-shirt, yes, but still.
I guess, but you got to win the game in order, like, yeah.
In the NBA, it doesn't matter as much.
Great dunks are great dunks. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was sent to us, and it is real. You can buy it. I don't know, what's the shirt, $34.99 or something?
Too expensive.
Something like that. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs specifically. We know Kareem Hunt is back in a Chiefs uniform. He's on the practice squad. Andy did not rule out the chance of Kareem Hunt being active on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. I think we'll know more tomorrow when he speaks and also how practice goes. I saw a practice video was out there from our friends over at Fox 4 and everything like that. The weird thing with this, of course, we've acknowledged, like, just how rare it is that an organization has brought back somebody that they cut ties with for 6 years. And given the circumstances around all of that, like, that is a pretty rare thing to do. Cody mentioned something to me before the show.
Yeah, you seemed off-put by it, honestly.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so, well, let the text line decide, since you're put off by it. 913-586-7965. Mm-hmm. Very simply, I'd like you to call in. Once you hear the question, 913-586-7965, and tell me whether you'd be amicable to a reunion of a different type. I thought, once Kareem Hunt was cut from this team, there was a 0.000% chance he'd ever end up back as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Come on. I didn't think that would ever happen. There happens to be another player that left this town that I thought he'd never come back either. Would you, and I looked it up, 3 years from now, 2 years from now,
oh gosh,
be open to the possibility of a Tyreek Hill reunion? If Kareem Hunt ended up back on this team, doesn't matter what Tyreek said. He said a lot of stupid stuff when he left. Started talking about how Tua was the best quarterback, and then he started saying some real dumb things. Started getting into with Chiefs fans a little bit more. Maybe shouldn't have made that pregnancy joke. But what? Besides the point, if he were around and he was 32 years old, and Chiefs are like, hey, we want to bring Tyreek back, what's your level of warmth? What's your interest level in bringing back old Tyreek Hill?
Cold pizza that was sitting out for hours. That's my level of warmth and interest. And
No Tyreek.
For one, also, I get it. You're saying 3 years from now. There's also the financial thing. If he is still in the league, given the position he plays and likely the talent that he still would have, he's also not realistic because Kareem Hunt's costing them like $1 million. Tyreek Hill would cost them.
I haven't seen the number. Yeah. Pretty much league minimum,
whatever that is these days.
How old would Tyreek Hill have to be?
33 would be his free agency year.
No,
just turned 33. Well,
he's going to cost still at that point more than I would be interested in. No, I do not need to go back that road. Also, we know Kareem Hunt and Mahomes have been in touch. Went to Mahomes' wedding. I don't know if Tyreek Hill and Mahomes still are texting on a regular basis.
Well,
I don't
when
know
when
if
he
they
left,
really
if
are.
You might remember,
I know the
he
comments.
Complained a lot of about how he, like, Travis was always invited places, and Travis was invited to do these things, but he wasn't really a part of the club.
Kareem Hunt never got a ring. Part of this, Kareem Hunt never got a ring, so he was even more interested in coming back. Tyreek Hill got a ring with this regime before. He's not chasing a ring. He just cares about money.
I kind of figured this is the way it was going to go, but I was kind of curious.
No.
Someone said, 913, Tyreek will never come back here. His ego is too big. From the 816, I'd rather say Michael Thomas at this point.
Slam boy.
From 913, this is too far. From the 913, I'd rather bring back Tony in 6 years. There's no way. There's no way. I guess there is a difference, though. What's funny is there is a clear difference in people's attitude towards the player, because people have been asking for Kareem Hunt to come back for years.
Right.
And I think it's because the Chiefs told him, no, this is the girl who broke up with you. You didn't break up with her. And I think you're taking this the wrong way. I think, Alex, you're in a relationship, and she's like, look, we're done here. I don't want to be together with you. 5 years later, you're like, man, this chick broke up with me 5 years ago. I'm not getting back in this mix.
Exactly.
If you just weren't in the right space during that time,
no,
and you had done the breaking up,
no,
I think you're more likely I think you're more likely to be on board with it if you were the person who did the breaking up, because then it felt like it was in your control. It was about you, not them.
Yeah, I mean, that's an even stronger response. I'm a firm believer in that. If you were in a relationship and it didn't work, like not just like you were talking, but if you were in a relationship for, let's call it 6 months or a year, and then you broke up 5 years later, what makes you think it's going to work better then? No.
People change in 5 years all the time.
I'm not talking about if you were talking in high school and then you're now 35 years old and you're talking again. That's different. I'm talking about if you were in a relationship 2 years ago for a year, you broke up, and then like 5 years later,
one person on the entire text line right now said, if he wanted to come back, that's fine. I'd welcome it. One person said, I've got no problem with the Price is Right. Everyone else said,
he's going to have 15 kids by then, man.
From the 816 says, Tyree can't afford to come back with 11 kids.
Yeah.
Which might be the case. I don't want to say for sure.
I think your analogy was good, Cody. It's just that in Gold's case,
the analogy's fine, but he's still not in.
If Gold were paid $1.5 million to try to make it work, then that's good. Because it's not like if you sign Tyreek Hill to the contract, you're not feeling each other out necessarily like you would in the case of going back and dating somebody. Like, okay, let's see if this can still work. Let's see if there's something there. You're bringing him in. It'd be like fully committing and jumping in all the way. 5 years later.
So just think anytime a relationship's over, that's it, huh?
That's my personal philosophy. Someone on the text line said that's the situation with them and his now wife. They broke up and they got together and got married.
So
I hope things are going great.
You probably don't know this, but my wife and I have been together a really long time.
High school though, right?
We did not date in high school at all. We dated after high school. We dated in middle school. She broke up with me in middle school.
But again, I just told you 2 minutes ago that I think it doesn't apply to the whole high school, middle school thing.
You think once you're adults, don't think adults change?
Not as much as when you were 17 and dating in high school.
Or middle school when you're 14, I guess.
Text line, Tyreek can go to hell. That's a no for me, dog. Someone said Kareem is made good with this time since
that's
this
fair.
Incident.
That's
Tyreek
fair.
Just keeps stepping in it.
That's true.
I would say one has certainly had a quieter time. Sorry, we briefly lost internet, or not internet, power. And I blinked,
and the lights turned off.
It threw us all off for a minute. Someone said Justin Houston before Tyreek, because that's the thing. I have done nothing but sit on this show for the last 5 years and had, I can't name how many different former Chiefs I've had people ask back. Why don't they bring back Justin Houston? They should bring back Derek Johnson. I want Kareem Hunt back. It's a never-ending list of former Chiefs they want back. And now you're all telling me no to Tyreek? He's the single greatest wide receiver in Kansas City Chiefs history. He'd still only be 33 years old. He wouldn't be like fried at that point. And yeah, he's going to talk a lot. That's most wide receivers. At this point, what wide receiver doesn't cause a problem?
I want to hear from the people on this one. In addition to the text line, let's go out 913-586-7965. Let's go out to the hotline. Welcome in Max in Shawnee. Max, you're on Cody and Gold.
Hey guys. I just wanted to say that I think you add Tyreek to this offense now that we have. I mean, we got the Legion of Zoom back. We probably have the greatest offense of all time.
See?
What about in 3 years from now, though? Because I'm with you. Like right now, he's obviously still playing. He had 1,800 yards last year, so I don't disagree. But I'm talking about in Cody's hypothetical. 3 years from now, he's 33 years old. Mahomes is in his 30s.
I don't see it happening because, as you guys have stated a lot of times, you know, Veach and Andy Reid don't like the older guys on the squad, really, unless they're Chris Jones or Travis Kelce.
Oh, I think we lost you, Max. We lost you there. I kind of get what you're saying there. Sorry, Max. Thanks for calling in, man. 913-586-7965. Yeah, right now is a whole deal. Of course, right now I'm with you. I just don't.
I wonder if some people still might not want him back right now just because of his.
Yeah, I just saw this team win a Super Bowl with the wide receiver room. They've also got a wide receiver room that is more than capable this year to win a World Series, win a Super Bowl. And so I definitely would not entertain that.
There's a few more people saying they'd kick it around, but for the most part,
someone said, speaking of former Chiefs,
said no.
The last time the Chiefs were in Atlanta, Eric Berry went out and had a monster game. Is that the last time they were in Atlanta? Obviously, they're an NFC team.
Eric Berry, man.
He had the blocked field goal return for a touchdown and had a pick and all that. That was a game in Atlanta. He had
the pick two.
He
put the Chiefs up. Yeah, Matt Ryan threw a touchdown pass, and then Eric Berry returned the 2-point conversion to the house for that.
that ended up being the difference between a win or a loss in that game, the pick two. So not small, not small in any way. All right, let's talk about this current team, not 3 years from now. When I was just curious, since everyone was seemed happy that Kareem Hunt was back. I was just kicking it around. I am surprised at how small of a deal people are making about left tackle for the Chiefs. We talked about it earlier in the show, and the more and more I kind of marinate on it, think about it last night, think about it today, the possibility that after 2 weeks into the season, they're going to bench their starting left tackle is a major deal, especially because Max Crosby's in this division, Bosa's in this division. There are good pass rushers in the AFC. We just saw that with Trey Hendrickson. And if all of a sudden you're telling me you're going to the backup plan at tackle, I would almost borderline call this the problem. Then it was a mistake to not bring back a guy like Donovan Smith, or it was a mistake to not find a veteran in the free agency market before it, and you overvalued what you had in-house versus risking a three-peat on an inexperienced rookie second-round left tackle and a third-round guy drafted 2.5 years ago versus just putting a veteran there to make sure things don't catch on fire. Because if you bench Kingsley for Sunday, then you're telling me it's on fire and there's a problem and they're going to have to fix his confidence, fix his technique midseason. That doesn't feel like something that's viable.
I think they know the player more than we do in terms of his mindset and how he approaches things. And they'll know the reaction and what it could do if they don't start, if they bench him fully and go back to Wanye. Do they think he's the type of player that is willing to accept the criticism, the coaching and all that, and that it's not going to, quote unquote, ruin him mentally for this season? Well, then maybe benching him is a good path. That let him improve and see if that works, and also dependent on how Wanya Morris looks, go that route. I personally think I would still start Kingsley on Sunday, give him a third game. Remember, third game in his career to see if he can improve. Give him a little help, Chip.
I think you have to start
do all that. I don't agree with benching him. I know others, some former Chiefs offensive linemen are out on social media saying that they would bench Kingsley for this game, and the hope that he, you know, basically like, hey, if he goes and pouts, he pouts. But is that the type of mentality that he has? Is that what you want to begin with? I just think you draft him in the second round. He won every competition that you had. There really was no competition. During camp, it was pretty evident right away he was the starter. Week one, he was okay. Last week, he was awful in the second half. I don't think you bail on him 3 weeks into the season.
I just think if you're doing that, then he's not your starter the rest of the year, right? What are you going to do? Go back and forth the entire year? Switch in the middle of the game? Oh, no, you can do it against some guys. You can't do that. That's a nightmare.
You start him. If he struggles against this defensive front, and Matthew Judon's a name, he's not Trey Hendrickson. He's not some of the guys. Some of the guys you mentioned. If he struggles against that front, and you also give him some chip, you know, some help to chip or whatever, and he's still struggling, well, then it's different. I think you give him another opportunity. It's early enough in the season. Your team's 2-0. This is still a team you should beat. Okay, there's some other things you can do to help him out. Maybe that's the difference, that it's not ideal, but last week you didn't have any plan going into the Cincy game to give him help. I'm assuming now, whether it's Wanye or Kingsley, you're going to go in and have some things in your back pocket if there's a struggle. Hell, maybe on the first snap of the game you're already helping him. I don't know. Or you let it see it play out and you know that, hey, here's an adjustment we're ready to make. We're going to have to leave Noah Gray or Travis Kelce in longer than we would
like.
They
also started to roll Mahomes out to the side that he wasn't on. But as Ross Tucker and some others have pointed out, if you do that, you now limit the scope of your offense.
Sure.
By chipping, by helping out, by rolling out, you shrink the field. You have to be more efficient. The windows are going to get smaller. You can't run your full complement of offense just to help one player. This is why left tackle, you know, can matter so much. Now, this is what's crazy. It's like, I've told you, they've made it work with almost every left tackle they've had. Orlando Brown Jr., Donovan Smith last year, Eric Fisher, like it doesn't really, other than Mike Rimmers, when he had to move from right tackle to left tackle in the Super Bowl, they have, if Kingsley were to make the Super Bowl this year, I mean, it'd be their fifth time starting, or Wanye, didn't really matter. It'd be the fifth different left tackle in five Super Bowls across the board at this point. I just don't know why you do it. If you're going to do that, if you're going to bench him, then you probably should find out how Donovan Smith is feeling.
Yeah, he's still out there. That's the backup
guy in the street. Same problem you just mentioned, right? Yeah. But it's like, if you're going to bench Kingsley, well, then you should be kicking the tires on any veteran who might be on the street. Even if it's going to be Wanye who starts for a little while, you better have a safety net.
Yeah, I'm just not there at all.
You can't keep going back and forth. I would just start Kingsley. I don't know what they're going to do yet. They haven't made that clear. He wouldn't confirm that on Monday. Nobody asked about it on Wednesday, so we won't hear from Andy until Friday. The offensive coordinators will talk today, so maybe Matt Nagy will have something to say about it when they address the media. You know, because it's the same thing, but it's just like, I wouldn't do it.
I'm not there yet. That to me is a desperate move. If they went out and brought in Donovan Smith after 2 weeks, I mean, that we have to put this in perspective a little bit. It was one football game out of two that they have played, and they pulled their starting left tackle. It's a story we're talking about. It is a big question mark.
Yeah.
But to the point where they have to go outside the organization already, way too early.
Wouldn't that hurt that Kingsley's confidence even more as well?
Of course.
Ross, he did say, even if you benched him, obviously, maybe a lack of confidence, but if you play him again and he struggles again, he might still have that lack of confidence anyway. So it could be a situation where you're, in a way, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But if you go out and you sign somebody else, then you're almost putting him down as the third tackle where Wanye starts and you bring in Donovan Smith as an option. Not that it stunts his development, but from a confidence standpoint.
Assuming Donovan Smith still wants to play football. I mean, I don't even know.
To jump the gun. You don't want to jump the gun too early. I think you give him a chance to rebound, and if he plays poorly again this week, then you have a real decision to make.
Yeah, that's it. The difference is like, why wouldn't you just take the chance, let him go again? This is a bad defensive front. I just told you, the Chargers next week, they have an even lower pressure rate than the Falcons. The Saints are about middle of the pack. This is actually kind of a decent stretch to try to go out there and get the man his confidence back. And Andy, like, this is the whole thing. They have done better than most teams at coaching up offensive line play. They have what is revered as one of the top five offensive line coaches in the league in Andy Heck. Andy Reid, the former offensive, like, they've done a nice job there before. So are you sure that over the next 5 days of practice, today, tomorrow, you can't get that arm technique or some of the things or enough in the game plan that he's not riding by himself? Look, Trey Hendrickson leads the entire league in pressure rate on the defensive line right now. Part of that is because of how much ass he kicked against the Chiefs last Sunday. But still, like, he's one of the best defensive linemen in the league. Let's see how he does against Judon, you know, before we start.
I honestly still would be, I really would be surprised if they went with Wanye this early. That's not usually the type of, Andy doesn't usually make that
rushed
big of a decision 2 weeks in, now week three of the season. I mean, hell, different position, right? Different priority, maybe at left tackle versus wide receiver. Last year, they were so patient with multiple guys in the wide receiver room. This is left tackle, so maybe they view it differently, but I think you go with Kingsley one more week at minimum and see how his performance is. If he's getting beat again, you pull him again, and then we're having a different conversation on Monday. I'm with you guys.
I mean, it was a tough watch. I'm not going to pretend. But this is the same thing we talked about with, like, Nick Bolton. I also would be interested in Nick Bolton not being in there on third down dime situations and instead give me Leo Chanel or Drew Tranquil. But they're not going to do that. I can want for things like that, but in week two, they're not going to be like, well, Bolton can't play anymore. No, they're going to rely on the same things that Nate Taylor told us on Tuesday, which is he's probably not fully healthy. He did not play in the preseason. He's getting his feet wet, still seeing with his eyes. Derek Johnson used to tell us that all the time. We used to cover him in the locker room. He'd say that the last thing to come back for a linebacker is your eyes. The speed of the game is always the toughest thing coming back from injury or coming into a season. So can Nick Bolton get better because he's been a really good NFL player so far? Yeah, I think probably so. They're not gonna panic.
Coming up next, we'll get to watch Trinity and we'll get a former Chiefs player's perspective on left tackle and what he's seeing, plus the wide receiver matchups that are going to take place on Sunday night in Atlanta, as Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, part of the Chiefs radio network. You'll hear him on the call on 96.5 The Fan Sunday evening. He joins us right here on Cody and Gold.